discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square, and finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
The story begins with a diagnosis that changed everything. A little girl suddenly battling a rare brain condition. A family trying to come to terms with what it all meant. And a pastor whose faith was about to endure the greatest test of all. But the health journey of Georgia Veach spawned a movement. And today, we discover how people across the world join together to lift Georgia up. And how God's love and compassion begin to shine through the darkest of valleys. And to share that with us today, we welcome Chad Veach. Chad is a pastor of Zoe Church in Los Angeles. He and his wife, Julia, have two beautiful kids, Georgia Estelle and Winston Charles. And sir, greetings to you and a warm welcome to the show.
Well, hey, thanks so much for having me on. It's an honor to be on the show today.
Well, and how are things in the land of sunshine? You expressed that you have some cold temperatures for you guys down there today, right?
Yeah. In our standards, this is cold. It's a freezing 72 degrees today.
Well, we hope you have your warmest blankets and a lot of heaters that are available to get you through that in tip-top shape, Chad. But right off the top here, just tell us a bit about your ministry there with Zoe Church. And you've really been able to reach out into your community there in some pretty unique and powerful ways.
Yeah, it's really exciting. You know, my wife and I and a team of people, we moved down from Seattle, Washington. And came to L.A. about a year ago or so, and we had 30 people move down with us, and we just started a church, just launched a church 6 months ago. So it's going fantastic, and we're seeing incredible things happen, people getting saved, and we just had our first baptisms on Sunday, had a
woman
get baptized, just really neat stuff happening.
Well, Chad, introduce us, if you could, to your sweet daughter, Georgia. How old is she now? And tell us a little bit about her.
She's 4 years old, and when she was 4 months old, that's when we got the diagnosis of her rare brain condition.
Well, when did you first begin to suspect that anything was wrong? Because she was already several months old at that point, right?
Yeah, so, you know, when it's your first born, and, you know, you're just so excited, nothing's wrong with your child, of course. And it was actually Grandma that began to, you know, kind of point some stuff out and say, hey, you know, this isn't normal and the baby should be doing this. And, you know, my wife and I were a little upset. We were kind of offended going, you know, this is our perfect child. How dare she?
Sure.
And, you know, it kind of a few weeks later would pass and she was having a real hard time feeding and, you know, just regular developmental issues. And it became so obvious that, you know, we started to go into some serious testing. And, yeah, it would be at 4 months that we would really understand what was going on.
And when you take her to the doctor then, can you really recall that day, I'm sure, when you received that diagnosis? What was going through your head? I mean, I imagine you really didn't understand when they used that word. Certainly you didn't understand all that it entailed, right?
Oh, not at all. I mean, you know, when we received the diagnosis, I mean, your head spinning. You know, it was, I mean, it's hands down the worst moment of my life, no question. And really just, yeah, you're going, what does this even mean? How did this happen? This stuff like this happened to us? Is this, how will I be a good husband through this? How will this affect my marriage and my child, my firstborn, my beautiful daughter?
Yeah.
The doctor just told me that she'll never walk. She'll never, you know, I started thinking about graduation and her wedding and all the things that she'll never get to do. It was completely devastating.
What does a day in the life look like for Georgia when it comes to that, Chad? I mean, what are the things that she struggles with on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so, you know, still, she's on a feeding tube for all of her meals. She still struggles with seizure activity, and we have to really aggressively monitor that with, you know, medicine and just environment. And, you know, she still struggles to develop and thrive. But, you know, I got to admit, my wife is just an incredible caretaker and has given our daughter, Georgia, a fantastic life and environment, and has helped her and served her unconditionally. And it is truly beautiful to watch someone love unconditionally and so sacrificially. And so, you know, she takes great care of Georgia, and you see that in her smile and her laugh consistently.
That's the voice of Chad Veach. He's pastor and author of Unreasonable Hope. He joins us today on Faith Radio On the Road, and I'm Ryan Thomas. You talk about driving home after discovering this sobering news, and instead of being filled with fear, you say that it was really a moment where faith filled your heart.
Yeah, it was a real crossroads. We understood in the moment that we were going to have to make a decision. You can pout, you can bellyache, you can be mad. We just made the decision. We're going to put our hope in God, and it was the first time I really had to apply what I had learned in terms of theology. Stuff I'd preached for years. It was the first time I ever went through something in my own personal life. So I kind of knew what to do in terms of not only what to say, but hey, it's like this stuff I've been preaching for years. I can put it to work now.
Yeah.
And so it was an incredible experience where we just, as a family, rallied around the Word of God, stood on His promises. And I'm not saying that, you know, as a preacher, you know, to try and hype people up. I just literally stood on the Word of God and said, God says this, God promised this. And we just spoke that over our family and over our daughter. And our home was not a place of torment or question. It wasn't a place of, you know, anxiety. We really were filled with peace and with joy and comfort of the Holy Spirit.
It's powerful stuff. I found it fascinating. You shared that you learned that 70% of marriages that have a child with this diagnosis don't last. And was that actually your doctor, you said, that shared that piece of information with you, by the way?
Yeah, it was. We had a believer as a doctor, which I thought, you know, that's God. And, you know, he said, hey, guys, I hate to tell you this. This is the diagnosis. And let me say this to you guys. You got to really look out for this. He said, you know, in my experience and statistics would say that, you know, 70% of marriages, you know, they fail because of receiving a diagnosis like this. And it was just a good heads up of going like, hey, we're not going to let this drive us away from each other. We're going to fight for one another. And together we can take this head on.
Understood. That's the voice of Chad Veach, the pastor of Zoe Church in Los Angeles, California, the author of the new book, Unreasonable Hope. And as you listen to this today, that book just released. And Chad, it's a tremendous book. It's very vulnerable, and it is faith and hope filled as well, sir. So thanks again for taking the time to write it. But essentially, I've heard you say that essentially you heard the facts, you understood the prognosis, but that you were believing that God was in control, and you were believing that through faith that God can do whatever He wants in this situation. And so tell us a little bit, Georgia is beating the odds in many ways, isn't that correct?
Yeah, you know, she's remarkable. It's the grace of God. She's actually way more further developed than we ever thought she would be. And she's communicating more than ever before via, you know, smiles and cooing and laughing. And, you know, she'll kick her legs when she gets excited. And, you know, she'll let you know if she's upset. You know, she'll cry pretty good. But, you know, it's an amazing thing to see someone defy the odds.
Yeah,
and I think it's the grace of God. I think it's the gift of God that she's doing so well.
Now, one of the remarkable parts of this story is what's called the G-Tat. And talk a little bit about this concept of a tattoo that honors your daughter and how it came about.
Yeah, well, I was preaching at Hillsong New York, and one of my good friends that is on staff there after a service said, "Hey, tomorrow I'm going to go out and I'm going to get a G tattooed on my forearm. Every time I look at this tattoo, it's going to remind me to pray for your family and pray for your daughter." I was like, "Bro, you're not getting the tattoo, and I don't get the tattoo for my daughter." So the next day we went out and we got these G tats, and we posted it. Just, you know, people were following the story of Georgia, and so, you know, we just put up G for Georgia, and we had no idea what we were doing that day would turn into really a phenomenon where people all around the world have went out and got this G and placed it, you know, on their forearms or biceps or, you know, all over the place just to support Georgia and say, "We're believing for this girl to be healed and we're standing with your family." And I think also, not only, I find a lot of people getting the G tat of going like, "Hey, I'm believing for Georgia, but I got an aunt that has cancer and I'm believing for her healing as well." So it's kind of this symbol of pain and suffering and yet hope at the same time.
Well, that must be, as a dad, I mean, what is that like? How does that feel to have people all across the world sharing in that hope for your daughter?
You know, it is just, there's no words. The other day I was in Miami, I was preaching at church, and this, you know, 60-year-old guy, got to be a grandfather, you know, looks like an old military guy, walks up and rolls up his shirt, and he's got a G for Georgia. You know, he's a grandpa, you know? Uh-huh. The other day, our publicist was in Nashville. We were in Nashville doing press all day, and our publicist gets in an Uber to go to the airport. The Uber driver's asking her, you know, he's saying, "You know, what were you doing?" And so she begins to say, "You know, I was representing this guy in this book, Unreasonable Hope." And the guy, the Uber driver, turns around, rolls down his sleeve, shows the arm, and says, "I've got a G-tap for Georgia."
Wow.
I've never even met this guy. It's just, wow. It's unbelievable. There's no words to adequately explain just how much that means to you.
Mr. Chad Veach is with us today on the road, the pastor of Zoe Church in Los Angeles, California, the author of the new book, Unreasonable Hope, about his remarkable daughter, Georgia, and her battle when it comes to her health, but her incredible hopeful story as well. And Chad, you explain in the book that even though this has been, I mean, understandably, a painful road for you and for your family, that it's also been this journey where you've discovered God's compassion more clearly than ever before in your life. How does that work?
Wow. You know, I was so unaware of other people's pain until I was in pain. And then I began to understand just how truly compassionate Jesus is. I think of the story in John 11 with Jesus and Lazarus, Mary and Martha. And Jesus arrives on the scene and, you know, Mary's kind of going, "Man, Jesus, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened." And Jesus knows, even though Lazarus has been dead for 4 days, he knows he's about to resurrect him. But even though he knew he was about to solve the problem, still says that Jesus stopped. John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible. We can all commit it to memory. That Jesus wept.
Yeah.
And why did he weep? Because he felt compassion. His friends, his brothers, his sisters were crying, and that moved him. I think he's just filled with compassion.
That's simple and yet profound, isn't it? So you set out in the book, Unreasonable Hope, from your intimate vantage point with what you and your family have gone through, and you're pretty upfront that you're going to tackle these age-old quandaries, like where was God when tragedy struck, and how could God allow this to happen? But you do explain that you're not going to let yourself off the hook, basically, with easy answers. So even though this is a road you continue to walk each day, Chad, what answers have you begun to emerge with?
I think the first thing you got to understand, the first thing we started to realize, and, you know, my wife, she asked that question, you know, how could God let this happen? And I'd gone to Bible college and really tried to study the Bible, and my first knee-jerk reaction was to say, you know, babe, God did not do this. God was not in heaven crossing his arms, looking at my wife and I going, let's see how they can handle a sick daughter. That's not God. God does not make sickness. Sickness is not from God. We live in a fallen universe. We live in a fallen planet. And sin and sickness are part of what we have to face this side of heaven. And that's why we have a hope in heaven, that when we get there, there'll be no more tears and no more sorrow and no more sickness. And so I think that's why we can put our hope in God and get our hopes up, is because I know there's a better place. This world is not my home. And so I think we've been able to resolve, you know, bigger theological resolutions rather than just, you know, quick bumper stickers, you know, and cliche sayings of, yeah, you know, stuff that I think we grow up going, like, this little quote should solve all of your problems. And it's like, that quote really didn't do anything for me.
You have divided the book up into four parts. You title them The Struggle, The Remedy, The Rest, and The Better. What's behind that presentation? And give us the overview of how those concepts sort of summarize your journey to this point.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. We just tried to put into the book how we journeyed the whole thing out and what that looked like for our family. That I think, you know, we started with the struggle in the book because you got to be honest. You know, when you go through a storm and you're going through a trial, the first thing you got to do is admit, I'm in a storm. I'm in a trial. And, you know, sometimes I can be a little bit optimistic and, you know, sometimes I can err on the side of positivity. It was the first time I really had to be honest with my pain and my sorrow and grief and disappointment. And I cried a lot, and that was unfamiliar for me. So I think that's why we started the book off with the struggle of going like, hey, let's be honest. The struggle is, it's a reality here. And, but you know what, there's a remedy and there's rest in God. And if you run to him, the book concludes, and I believe this is the gospel, there's the better. You know, Joseph says in Genesis 50, he said, what the enemy intended for harm, God intended it for good. I believe that. I believe what the enemy wants to use to wipe us out, God can redeem it, and he can use it not only to teach us who he is, but he can use it even for his glory. That I have found pain to become my biggest platform. I have found that my struggle was the pathway to my success. And I never would have anticipated that, but had I not gone through these proper channels in this equation, I don't think I could come out better like we have.
Well, that's absolutely profound, isn't it? Because if you had not endured this as a family and have had to watch Georgia endure this from day to day, these opportunities that you've had to speak to so many, they may never have come to fruition.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think people relate to your weakness way more than they do your strength. And, you know, God has comforted us. I believe it's so that not only we can receive comfort, but it's also so that we can be a comfort to many.
Understood. Well, that is Chad Veach. It's a profound story that he tells, the pastor and the author of Unreasonable Hope. And we want to let people know in just a few moments how they can get the book, Chad. But I wonder, too, as we wind down here and telling the story, how can we pray for you and for your family and for Georgia specifically as you go forward?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. It means a lot. And please pray that my daughter gets a miracle. That's what we're believing for. We're not contending that she would just, you know, survive, but we want to see her miraculously and totally healed. And we're believing that, and we're declaring it. And I have comfort knowing that she's going to be healed, either this side of heaven or the other side, but she's going to be healed. And pray for resources. You know, we're believing for the best life for Georgia. You know, right now we're working with RespiCare, getting people to the house to take care of her. We're getting her into school right now, you know, special chairs and equipment. So we're just believing for resources for her to provide for her the best life possible.
Understood. Well, we will. We certainly will continue to pray for you and for Georgia specifically as you go forward. Unreasonable Hope, of course, the book is just out, Chad, and just talk a little bit, if you would, about the easiest and the best ways to get a copy of this great book.
Yeah, if you go to our website, unreasonablehope.org, you can find it there and buy it online, or it's available on Amazon and any of the major bookstores like Barnes & Noble.
All right, sir. Well, my goodness, we thank you so much for your time today. I know you've been all over the country talking about this message, and we sure appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Well, thank you for having me on. It was a big honor.
Our feature interview on this latest edition of On the Road, Mr. Chad Veach. You know, we've had the chance to connect with some extraordinary people on the road in the past year and a half, and from time to time, it's a lot of fun to check in and see what God's doing in those stories today. Last summer, we discovered the journey behind the hit music of CCM artist Matthew West, and we learned, among other things, that what Matthew really wanted to do as a young man was to take the field for the Chicago Cubs someday. But the music thing does continue to work out pretty well for our friend Matthew West. His latest single just kicked up a notch this week to number 5 on Billboard Music's Hot Christian Songs chart. It's called Grace Wins.
There's a war between guilt and grace, and they're fighting for a sacred space. But I'm living through Grace Wins every time.
Yeah. Now, Matthew was a fixture on the top of the charts. But there was a time when a persistent young Matthew West was making his way around the country, trying to introduce his music to anyone who would listen to him. It was then Matthew says he learned an unforgettable lesson.
There were several years of wondering if I was barking up the wrong tree. You know, when success doesn't come to you in a certain area of your life overnight, you are going to be tempted to ask some of those questions.
Yeah.
Say, God, did I not hear you correctly? You know, what's the deal? But there were several years of me traveling around the country in a green Honda Civic, you know, with my homemade CDs in the trunk of my car, and playing at youth groups and colleges and church services and doing everything I could to get the word out and get the music out. And it was through those years that God just began to show me, even when an artist or a band would record one of my songs, you know, there was kind of it was a victory, but it was also a bit of a mixed blessing, because at the time I'm going, well, man, nobody's going to know my name. They're just going to know my song.
Right, right.
And, boy, the irony in that struggle is really became a beautiful learning process for me to get to a point where, you know what, at the end of my life, if people don't remember my name, but yet some of the messages in the songs brought them closer to Christ, you know what, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that legacy. And so God was really growing me, and I find that that's what he's doing in all of our lives. Even somebody who's listening to this interview right now who's maybe not where they want to be in life, they're not where they see themselves going, they're in an in-between season in one way or another. Man, if we approach these in-between seasons or even trials we're facing, moments where we've yet to see our dream come true with eyes wide open, God might show us, even in the moment, how he's growing us and making us more like him, and at the end of the day, making us more dependent on him to remember when we do reach our seasons of success that it had nothing to do with us, but had everything to do with God's power, God's plan, and God's timing.
Wisdom picked up on the road of life from our friend Matthew West. We'll go ahead and close out our time together today with more from his latest tune, Grace Wins. And thank you so much for being with us on the road. If you missed any of our feature conversation today with Pastor Chad Veach, he has some amazing things to say, or you maybe want to catch some of the programs that we've previously aired, you can simply visit myfaithradio.com. Programs and On the Road. Until next time, my name is Ryan Thomas. Have a tremendous rest of your weekend, and God bless.
For the woman at the well, grace wins. For the blind man and the beggar,
grace wins. For always and forever, grace wins. For the lost out on the street, grace wins. For the worst part of you and me, grace wins. For the thief on the cross, grace wins. For a world that is lost, there's a war between guilt and grace.